You need to wait till I restate the case.
I'm sorry, I thought...
And I'm waiting for people to leave, so just hold up a second.
You're thinking I've waited long enough, right?
I'm anxious.
The next matter this morning is Wilson versus Waste Connections, Inc. Counsel, whenever you're ready.
Thank you, I'd like to reserve 2 minutes. May it please the court, I'm Mark McKill, appearing here on behalf of the appellant, Craig Wilson. This is a case that results from an injury that goes clear back to 2010. If there was ever any dispute in this matter concerning those injuries, Mr. Wilson basically worked with a provider, received benefits, received medical treatment, and was receiving vocational rehabilitation for a period of time. Those benefits essentially came to an abrupt halt, and including payment of indemnity, payment of medical expenses, and vocational rehabilitation. I think the testimony that Mr. Wilson gave at trial was that Ron Schmidt, the vocational rehabilitation expert that he was working with, came to his residence and said, "I'm done, you don't need me." Never were sure or ever pinned down why that occurred. Likewise, indemnity and, medical benefits at the same time. So whether that was a result of an IME or something else, there's a lot of issues here to cover. One of the issues was payment of penalties and attorney fees, late payment penalties and attorney fees. I think that's pretty well stated in the brief. I'm not going to go into much detail on that. But the couple of things that occurred in the court's order, court's decision, are a little concerning. The paragraph in the award letter, or award, basically says, "This decision is meant to be final, a final determination of the rights and liabilities of the parties. If any issue was not addressed, they were not reserved for later determination. The silence of this decree towards any claim relief shall be construed as a denial of those requests under all circumstances of this case, based upon and including consideration of all evidence in its totality." Well, I believe there's a rule that says that it's Rule 11A, that there has to be a reasoned opinion as to why benefits were denied. There was no mention or no reasoned decision as to why no award of vocational rehabilitation benefits, which were asked for. Also, no mention of why there was no award for late penalty and attorney fees.
Can we talk about the vocational rehab first?
Yes.
Because as I read the order, as I understand the law, if an employee has been returned to suitable employment, then there is no vocational rehabilitation available to him.
And I think that's kind of where that hinges, the suitable employment part of it. My client is employed. He continues to be employed at FedEx as a contract driver. I think he makes a flat $135 a day. But the evidence is that he's working beyond the restrictions imposed by not only his doctor, but the IME doctor as well. 30 pounds, and he's making less money than he was, so not substantially less, but he is making less. I don't think it meets the burden or meets the definition of suitable employment.
Well, and that's my question. Is whether employment suitable a question of fact or a question of law?
I'd say it's probably, I don't know that that's ever been addressed for sure. I think there's some other courts and other jurisdictions that are cited in my brief that talk about that and address the suitable employment issue, but I don't think it's been determined whether it's a question of fact or question of law. I think the facts are clear in this case. Not working beyond his limitations for certain. And as a result, the argument here is that it's not employment. And it's actually causing further deterioration of the injuries that he sustained, including the injury to his knee. He lost weight because of stress, and basically because it's hard work, probably partly too, but this individual I've known for a long time, actually. He was a strong, robust individual. He's probably lost 30 to 40 pounds throughout this process. The unloader brace that he wore on his right leg no longer fits. His knee continues to deteriorate. Doctors have said there's likelihood that he will need additional medical treatment to deal with those issues, continues to suffer pain and lack of use of his right shoulder. And then also with regard to the abdomen, that the court determined there was no foundation, that that was an injury related to fall that he sustained. I think that there was actually quite a bit of evidence relating to that, and the reason, partly because of the other injuries, there was a, I guess you might say, treated conservatively. We're not going forward with any surgery. The doctor also expressed concerns in 2010 that because he was working at a job that exceeded his limitations, he might further damage that, or wouldn't the surgery would not be successful. So we've asked for future medicals, we've asked for both rehab to be allowed so that he can get suitable employment. He went above and beyond, actually, during the vocational rehabilitation process. He applied for 300 jobs while working with vocation specialists. He did find a job. By necessity, part of the problem that you run into in these cases is that he's not able to get medical treatment because he has no personal insurance. So when the benefit's in, treatment. No doctor's going to perform MRIs or other expensive procedures to determine and the requirements for surgery. Nobody can do surgery without some kind of condition.
Was there any medical evidence other than Dr. Bartruff?
As far as the abdomen?
No, that he was going to need future medical.
I believe in the brief, and I can't give you this, I should be able to give you the specific page. I believe the IME doctor also said that additional treatment may be necessary.
And is that maybe necessary sufficient for future meds when the...
Well, I don't know, we can't determine that. I don't think anybody can determine that unless there is ongoing allowance of ongoing.
Well, I mean, isn't the rule there either has to be a stipulation of the parties or explicit evidence in the record that future medical will be necessary?
With regard to the knee, I think... That's probably true, yes. There has to be explicit evidence.
So if we take out Dr. Bartruff,
right,
and we're left with the IME doc who says may be necessary, do we really have explicit...
I believe Dr. McKenzie also said that the unloader brace was utilized for purposes of taking pressure off the knee to avoid further... So we've got that issue as well. The unloader brace can't be used, so has not been able to be placed. He's not been able to further treatment on it. That all kind of compounds itself. Dr. McKenzie was the doctor that performed. Yeah, is there clear evidence? I believe there is clear evidence that client is in need of treatment as a result of the injury sustained, in particular with knee, shoulder. It may never get better. That's not for us to determine. That's for a doctor to based on appropriate medical procedure. I would reserve that 2 minutes. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you. Counsel, whenever you're ready.
Thank you.
Good morning.
Morning. Hey, please, the court. My name is Melvin Hansen. I represent the employer, appellee, in this case. And counsel is right. There are many issues in this, and I'll just start off from where my notes indicate I should start off. With regard to the abdomen, there's a claim that Mr. Wilson hurt his abdomen when he fell on July 30th of 2009. It's been mentioned twice in the medical records after an examination. That's both by exams by Dr. Bartoff, the one on July 30, 2009, of the date of the injury, and again on July 10th, 2013. And there was an ultrasound taken on April 7, 2010, which showed no abnormality. The court found that was not sufficient to show a causal connection or an injury to the abdomen from the fall, and that's a finding of fact. The court is not required to accept a doctor's opinion of yes or no. It's the court's discretion It's a fact of the case, and the court made that finding. As a matter of fact, that was not a compensable injury. With regard, there's other claims that counsel has not mentioned. There's claim to the elbow, and the court found that there was no basis for the elbow claim.
The appellant didn't raise that as an assignment of error, though, right?
Pardon?
The appellant did not raise that as an assignment of error, that the court erred in not finding those other things.
No, I don't believe we did.
Okay, so can we go to the voc rehab issue?
Yes. Mr. Wilson participated in a court-approved vocational plan, a job placement plan that lasted for 3 months, and it went for 3 months. And during the course of that plan, he did not find a job, but the plan went for 3 months. He found a job after that. He found a job for a company called Accent or something like that, I believe in August of 2012. He worked there for a few weeks. That job went away not because of Mr. Wilson's inability to do the job, but because the company didn't have the money or the wherewithal to continue him on that job. And then he went to work in November of 2012 for FedEx, and he's been working there ever since. The evidence is that he does his job. He hasn't taken any time off from FedEx because of any problems with his injury. He does his job the same as everybody else does their job at FedEx, about the same time.
Well, didn't he testify that he has to make some accommodations? He slides the boxes instead of lifts them. Sometimes he has to go to the customer and ask for assistance in getting the box to their doorway.
He does. But he also testified it really doesn't take him any more time to do his job, to run his route, than it does anybody else.
But it makes him really sore, I think, is what his testimony was.
He testifies that there's an effort, yeah. He testifies that he's sometimes uncomfortable.
So my question is, the court finds it to be suitable employment. If someone is working outside the restrictions, and it seems from reading the court's award that it adopted the restrictions that one of the doctors had imposed about not lifting more than 30 pounds. So his testimony was, I think, half of the boxes weigh more than 50 pounds. So if he's working outside of his restrictions and he needs to make these accommodations and it's taking a wear and tear on his body, is that really suitable employment?
I think the proof is in what he does. I think the law is also that the court can look at an employee's assertions of what his abilities are in determining loss of earning capacity or extent of disability. Here this man admits in testimony that he's done this job now for almost 2 years at the time of the hearing and does it fine. There's no complaints. He goes to work every day. He does the work. He says he's sore sometimes afterwards, but many people are sore after working on a physical job. There's no evidence that I can point to in the record that shows that doing that job has caused him any physical harm.
So if it's suitable employment, then no additional voc rehab needs to be
provided,
correct?
That's right. He's already had the voc. He's already had voc rehab. He's not entitled to unlimited voc rehab. He's already had a court-approved plan of job placement with the vocational counselor.
And I'm having a hard time from the award trying to determine if the court found either he wasn't working outside his restrictions or, despite the fact that he's working outside his restrictions, it's not taking a toll on his body. So does that lead to a conclusion that the report doesn't meet the requirements of Rule 11? I can't determine the factual basis upon which it's making its determination?
Your Honor, I think you have to look at the plaintiff's testimony, Mr. Wilson's testimony, as to what he actually does, and consider what he actually does. If you look at his restrictions, those are his restrictions. There's no evidence contrary. But then you look at what he actually does. And he's not actually doing this job for a period of a couple weeks or a weekend. He's been doing this job for 2 years, every day for 2 years, sometimes more than 5 days a week. And for all we know, he went back to work the next day after the hearing, back to the same job. There's no evidence that that he could not do that job. And I think that, I think you have to look at that. I think that, that is a fact the court has to consider. What are they, what is this person actually doing? You have the opinions of the doctors. I'll agree that they say one thing, but what is he actually doing? How long has he been doing it? And are there any problems with him doing it? There's no medical evidence that comes to mind that says him doing this job is causing this problem or that problem, a specific finding. And there's no evidence that he cannot do that job on a daily basis the same as everybody else. I think those are facts for the court to consider, and I think the court did consider those facts in finding and reaching its ruling.
But he doesn't set that out, does he? He doesn't give us a reasoned opinion saying that, does he?
He just kind of assumed that
based upon what he does.
Correct. His opinion, it says what it says. It says if he's not ruled, if he's not granted some relief sought, that it's denied. That's what he said.
But you think that's a well-reasoned opinion?
I think it's well-reasoned to the extent that he has reviewed the evidence, that we had a trial, there was testimony, there was evidence. I think he discusses what the evidence is, he discusses what the medical reports are, and makes that pronouncement, and he's finding.
Thank you.
Along the lines of that well-reasoned opinion, can you address the attorney fee and how the court reached the number that it reached?
At the time, here's what happened. He was disabled for a period of time, temporarily disabled. I could go back and find the exact dates, but I don't think that's important for this discussion. And then he was entitled after that to permanent disability benefits. There were ratings to his arm and to his leg that he was being paid, and he was being paid at the rate of like $597 a week. And that continued on, that just continued on, and it wasn't until March of 2012 that there was a pronouncement by the vocational counselor as to what his loss of earning capacity was. In the meantime, they continued the payments for some reason at the 597 level, and by the time we got to hearing, there was an overpayment. He can claim, if he has over 30% loss of earnings because he has a two-member disability, he can claim loss of earnings. He can't claim both. He can't claim loss of earnings and member disability. The carrier continued paying for the member disabilities, although somebody perhaps had it in their head, I don't know, that maybe they got to pay him out 300 weeks, but they paid him the wrong rate. So by the time we get to hearing, there's about a $4,000 overpayment. There was never any evidence that there were any payments that were delinquent. Never a delinquency in the payments. And I think that's what you have to have. You have to have a 30-day delinquency before, under 48-125, before the person would be entitled to a penalty, attorney fee, or interest.
Did the court make that finding?
I believe it did. I believe so.
I don't think attorney fees is mentioned even in the award. I think that's falling under the umbrella of, if I haven't addressed it, it's deemed denied.
The court on second section at the end of that paragraph, as of the time of trial, the defendant was overpaid $4,245, which credit would be used as et cetera. But there was never any finding or any evidence that any payment was delinquent.
Other questions? Thank you very much.
Thank
you.
Can you
step back? How much time do we take him over? You can add the 21 seconds to the appellant's time. Not that you have to use it, but you're welcome.
Thank you. I just wanted to address the suitable employment issue very briefly. I don't think that the award, lack of award, or the issue concerning suitable employment really takes into consideration the spirit of the workers' compensation law. I don't think the workers' compensation law recognizes that somebody should go to a job where they basically are forced to do something, have to do this.
Thank you. Appreciate you coming in today and arguing. Matter is deemed submitted. Counsel are excused. And this completes today's portion of the Board of Appeals.
Thank you.